1 John chapter 3, verse number 19. If you would stand, would you find your place? Not you, Albert. You sit still.
Thank you.
Verse number 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that we are pleasing, that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. And that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in us. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Brother Dale, would you open up a prayer again and pray for me? Before I forget again, I was supposed to announce, don't forget the Christmas dinner next week. It's going to be at 3 p.m. now, get at 3 p.m. He's close to 3 as we can. And I was supposed to announce that, and I keep forgetting. So there you go. Last time we were here in 1 John, we looked at the love for the brethren. We start out in this chapter 3, very first verse is chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love. That's his love, the Lord's love. Oh, what example we have to follow of love, love for one another. Then we looked at our need for love and the separation that's caused by sin and why we need that love from him and what Jesus did for us because of that love and how he conquered Satan. And the last time we were here, we saw the love for the brethren, how we ought to also show the love he showed us, show it to others. I told you last time how in chapter 3 was somewhat of a review of chapter number 2, except John dives a lot deeper in these subjects. In chapter 2, he saw the test of salvation. Do we keep his commandments? Do we have a love for the brethren? Do we have a love for the world? All those different things. John is dealing with some of those same things here in chapter number 3, but he's dealing with them from a different point of view and going much deeper than he did in chapter number 2. There's a lot of truth packed into this little book. It's five short chapters. There's a lot in this book, and there's no way I could cover every bit of it, but I'm going to do my best to cover what I can. One, I don't have enough time, and two, I'm not that smart, so I'll cover what I can. Every verse in this book deals with something. So the Lord's help tonight, I'm preach just for a few minutes on this, the fruit of love. We see his love and the separation that causes us to need the love and love for the brethren. And now we see the fruit of the love that abides in us. Last time we saw that, we saw those things. Let's see what we can see here tonight. To understand these verses I just read, we first need to back up into that last verse, the last section. That's verse number 18. This was written, I separated up some different sections of this chapter. This book was written as one complete letter, one continuous letter. Just because we separate up in different chapters, different sections, does not mean anything. It's one continuous book, one continuous letter. So, verse number 18, John says in his letter, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." My little children, John often addresses the church, his church, within this letter. Let us love in word, neither in tongue. That's not love in word, neither in tongue. There's a lot of folks who say they love you, and they talk a big talk, and that sounds good, but that's about as far as it goes, just into their tongue, and don't go any further after that. We love you. Anything we can do for you, we'll do it. We love you. And when it comes down to actually doing something and sacrificing something, it's not going to happen. It's an empty promise. That's what John's addressing here. Don't love in just word and in tongue. John says, don't love in word, neither in tongue, but love in deed and in truth. Actually do it. We talked about this last time. If you're going to say it, then you better do it. Don't talk and talk without walking the walk. So my dad's always told me, if you say you love the brethren, you better live by it. Do it. Don't just do it for the pat on the back or just to do it to make yourself look good. Do it because you mean it. Do it in deed and in truth. Do you mean it or not? Then John goes in this next part, this verse number 19, where I start off tonight. He says, and hereby we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And hereby we know. How do we know? If we truly love in deed and in truth. Not just some made up, superficial kind of love. That's not just love on the outside, just in the mouth. But actually doing something. Nothing like the love Lord has speaks about in verse number 16. Do you really follow that verse number 18? Jesus loved us enough to lay down his life for us. Are you willing to live for him? Are you willing to live your life and sacrifice for others with that sacrificial love? And if it came down to it, you're willing to sacrifice your life like he did. He's not asking us for all to do that, but would you be willing? Are you really following verse number 18? It's the love in deed and in truth, not just in word and in tongue. Do you really love the Lord? If you really love the Lord, then you're going to love the brethren. These two go hand in hand. So let's get into the rest of this passage here. I'm going to divide these verses up into three different sections here. Number one, we see our assurance of our possession. Verse number 19. We can be sure of our possession, not just a profession, but an actual possession of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We can have confidence in that. We have assurance of it. Number one, we see the confirmation. Verse number 19 again. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. And hereby we know. It's not a question. It's a definite we know. What is that? That's talking about verse number 18. And the love for the brethren, like the love of Christ. As He loved us, so we ought to love one another. And we truly possess that love for the Lord and that love for the brethren. The love for the Lord and the love for the brethren go hand in hand. You say you love God and you hate your brother, it's not in you. John says in chapter number 2, you can't love God and hate your brother. So if you love God, you truly do, then you'll love the brethren. And if you do that, so if you possess that love, not just in word, but in deed and in truth, if we truly possess it, we are willing to lay down our life sacrifice and have sacrificial love, then we know that we shall assure our hearts before Him. We know that we are of the truth if you possess that love. Now, I don't want to give us a false sense of security. Just because you have compassion does not make you a saved person. There are a lot of lost people that have compassion on orphans and whatever you see. There's a lot of people that have compassion in this world. It's a good thing. That's a different kind of love. This is the new commandment given by God in Jesus Christ that John talks about in chapter number 2. Love like Christ love. Notice in verse 18, it says, indeed and in truth. What is that truth? There are a lot of folks that may perhaps do good things and love indeed. They are morally good people. They do good things. They may do a favor for someone, just being kind to their neighbor. There's a lot of people that do those things. John says, indeed and in truth. Well, what does that mean? John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the truth. You can love the brethren indeed and in truth through Jesus Christ. Love them like Jesus loves them. Love them, being willing to be sacrificial for them. John explained this more already in verse number 16 of the same chapter. 1 John 3:16. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us and went to lay down life for the brethren. It's a different kind of love. It's not just a morally good, morally kind kind of love. This is the love of God from Him indeed and in truth. If you do love indeed and in truth, then hereby we know that we are of the truth. We are of Him. If you live that way, if you're a saved child of God and you live for the Lord and you do your best to live right and with a clean heart, you practice that love indeed and in truth, then we know that we are of the truth. We are part of Him. We are of Jesus Christ. That kind of love is not a natural love. It has to come from Him. We know that we are of the truth. We possess that love in truth. John says, and shall assure our hearts before Him. Assure our hearts. Our heart, our conscience, our soul can have confidence that we are in Christ, in Him, before Him, before in His presence. We can stand in His presence, come boldly before the throne of grace, says in Hebrews, with assurance in our hearts that we are part of Him. We are in Him. We can know that we know that we know that we know that we are saved. You can have that confidence. You don't have to question it. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to hope. We don't have to doubt. And John is trying to nail that down here tight in this church. He does it over and over again in this book. We ought to have it nailed down here as well. Are you saved or not? Get that settled here tonight. Well, I hope I am. That's not the answer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no question about it. Shall be saved. Have you called? If so, then quit doubting Him. You can trust in Him. You can put your faith in Him. We can have assurance in our hearts and know that we are of the truth. We know we are believing in the truth because we believe in Him and He is the truth. We see the confirmation here in verse number 19. The assurance of our possession. It can be confirmed. We can know without a shadow of a doubt that we are of Him. And that we see evidence in our life because of that. Something as big as Him can't move in and something not change on the inside. Something's going to change. See the confirmation. We see the condemnation. It speaks on verse number 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And look at this two different ways, and I believe they're both important. We need to understand both these ways to look at this verse here. For if our heart condemn us, why would our heart condemn us? Because we know we've done wrong. We have a conscience. We're given from God. Even a kid comes to the age of and realizes the difference between right and wrong. Even a child can understand that when he gets to that point in his life. He realizes when he does wrong, and he should feel guilty of that. It's a natural thing. As a Christian, even more so, if you do wrong, you know you've done wrong. Your heart will condemn you. It will condemn us. It will pull us and prod us. If we're saved, the Holy Spirit will poke you and prod you and point you back to Christ, try to get you to get things right in your life, to live your life for Him. John says, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If we know that we've done it, if our heart condemns us, how much more does that hurt Him and harm and hurt Him that ought to convict us, or to be conviction for us, that ought to motivate us to stay right and do right and live right. If our heart condemns us, how much more is it hurting him? Keep a clean heart before the Lord. God is greater than our heart. God knows all and God sees all. He knew all the way back there at the cross what you would do today. God is greater than our heart. That's the negative side of this verse. It ought to drive us to live as clean as we possibly can. It ought to convict us of that. But notice there's also a positive way to look at this. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God is greater than our heart. God can forgive. God can give mercy and God can give grace before our heart can. There are a lot of people that won't come to God because they say they're too bad. They say they've gone too far for God to forgive them. The truth of that statement is they can't forgive themselves what they've done. God can forgive all. God is full of mercy and God is full of grace. We know that. God is full of truth. God is greater than our heart. Oftentimes when I can't forgive myself, God is greater than my heart and willing to forgive and knoweth all things. He knows all things. You can't hide anything from him. It's not going to happen. He knows it. But God is greater than our heart. If you're not thankful for anything else here tonight, you can praise God for that. I'm glad God is greater than my heart and willing to forgive before I am. God loves the world. We don't. We say we do. We can say we do. But if someone treated us the way that many have treated God, and many of us have treated God, there's no way our fleshly heart would forgive like he forgave. Yet he died for us while we were yet sinners, says Romans 5:8. God is greater than our heart. You see the condemnation. Our own heart condemns us. It's given by God. We have Holy Spirit. We have a conscience. We have Holy Ghost drawing and directing. But God is greater than our heart. See the confidence, verse number 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. This is piggybacking off the last verse we just looked at. If our heart condemn us not, what does that mean? That means we have a clean heart before God. Whatever was wrong between us and God in verse number 20, we've gotten that right, gotten that settled, got that cleaned up. We have a clean, clear slate with him. How do we do that? Seeking his face in prayer, confessing our faults to him, asking him to forgive us. You get everything right, and now your own heart is not condemning you anymore. Then have we confidence toward God. What does that mean? We have confidence toward God. That word confidence means frankness or assurance or boldness. It means we can speak freely with a clean heart and clean conscience. We can come before God. That doesn't mean arrogantly. That word bold doesn't mean arrogantly. That just means we can come before him knowing that everything is right between us and him. We can stand before him knowing it's going to be okay, that everything is right between us. You can look at this in the days of royalty. You can think of Queen Esther there in the kingdom. She needed to go before the king to ask to help him save her people. But she didn't want to because it was not the right time. She was afraid to come in his presence. Why? Because he could have killed her if he wanted to. She couldn't come boldly before the king. Even if her conscience was clear, it depended on his mood whether she was going to be okay or not. John says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Don't have to worry about it. He's going to forgive. He already has forgiveness back there before. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to fret. We can have confidence toward God. It's going to be okay. Thank God for that. You get everything right before God in your heart. If your heart's not condemning you, then it's right. If your Holy Spirit's not pushing you and prodding you to get things right and convicting you and telling you things are wrong, then you can have confidence before him and toward him. You can come before him and come bring your petitions to him. That's what this next section, these verses, are talking about. Number one, we see our assurance and our possession. Number two, we see our answers to our prayers. I'm going to give you the secret to having your prayers answered here. You might want to listen to that. Verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This verse comes right after verse number 21 for a reason. We have confidence toward God in verse number 21. We have confidence toward him because everything's clean. Our heart's not condemning us. We have confidence toward him. We know everything's okay. And then whatsoever we ask. We are coming before him with a clean and a clear heart. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. That sounds pretty great, don't it? The problem comes in when that's where people stop reading. We come, whatsoever we ask, we receive him. Then people stop right there. Whatsoever we ask, we receive him. Lord, I need $1 million. Lord, I need this. I need that. Lord, I need a new truck. Whatever it is. That's not how that works. God is not some genie in a bottle. You just come and pray and rub the side of the lamp and he's going to grant your wishes to you. We know that's not the way it works. That's often how folks pray. Lord, we need this now. Lord, I know we haven't talked in a while, but I've got this problem now. I need you to fix this now and I'll come back when I got another problem. That's often how our prayer life works. That's not how this thing is supposed to work. Now this verse says, John says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Because we keep his commandments. Whatsoever we ask for, we receive it because we keep his commandments. Does that mean if you live perfect, then God will grant you every wish? That's not what that means either. John 15:10, it says this. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you're keeping his commandments, like John tells you in this verse, then he says in his gospel, you are abiding in his love. You're living for him, that love in deed and in truth. John talks about over and over again, not just in word. You can have a clean, clear heart and come boldly before him and ask of those things when you're living and keeping his commandments, living in his love. Notice it says, because we keep his commandments, those things that are pleasing in his sight. Whatever we do, it ought to be pleasing to him. It's part of this formula here in this verse. Is everything you do pleasing to the Lord? I haven't reached that point. I don't know about you. That's what it says over about Enoch in Hebrews, that he had a testimony that he pleased God. Do your actions please God? Is there anything in your life, in your heart, in your mind that would not please God? If so, this isn't for you. That's convicting to me. I don't know about you. If there's anything in your life that's not pleasing to him, then why are you holding on to it? Why is it still in there? Get it out of there. Get rid of it. So if we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight, then whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. That's what John says. If you're keeping his commandments, you're doing those things that are pleasing to him, then your request and prayer, your request and prayer are not going to be something that he would not answer. If you're in the right mindset, living for him and living your life right, your requests are going to line up with his will. You're not going to go and beg God for the $1 million I talked about a minute ago, because that would please your flesh. It would not please him. You're not going to go ask for the new big pickup because that would not please him. That would please your flesh. Not that anything's wrong with trucks. You get the point. If you're following his commandments, you're doing everything to please him, then your request and prayer are going to line up with his desires anyway. And he's going to grant you those requests. You can read after great men prayer like George Mueller. I was reading after him, his biography. God seemed to answer almost everything he asked in prayer. Why is that? Because his request lined up with God's will and God's desires. And he did what was pleasing in God's sight. So God answered his prayers. And God used him, used his life. Are we lining up with him? Is our heart clear before him? If so, we can come boldly before him. We can have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. We see our answers to our prayers. I don't normally use this word, but for sake of alliteration, the awesomeness of our position. Verse number 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. Here's his commandment, very simple. That we believe on the name of his Son and love one another as he gave his commandment. He's given us a commandment to believe. He's given us a commandment to love as he loved. We've talked about those a couple times already, the old commandment, the New Testament, Leviticus, the new commandment, the gospel is from Jesus. Love your neighbor, and then love your neighbor like Jesus loved him. Those are his commandments, two of them that we're supposed to keep. First and foremost, believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Follow that commandment. Secondly, love one another. Follow that commandment. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. He that keepeth is he that dwelleth. Both are present tense. The one that keeps those commandments is the one that is dwelling in him, and he in him. The one that keeps those commandments and believes in Jesus and the love one another, you are dwelling in God, and God is dwelling in you. It ought to be a little bit exciting for us. Not only are we dwelling in him, but he's dwelling in us. It says, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You love him. You love others in deed and in truth. You have a clear heart before God. You can come boldly and ask of him. You can have confidence toward him. And you can know that you know that you know that you're dwelling in him and he's dwelling in you. You can be assured of your salvation. Be assured of what you have. How do we know for sure? By the Spirit which he hath given us. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we know that if we abide in him and he abides in us. The Lord will let you know. Do you have that peace that you didn't have before? Do you have that desire to serve God that you didn't have before? It's not a natural desire. You have a desire to do right and follow his word. Desire just to keep his commandments. Desire to love the brethren. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Something, like I said, or he said a minute ago, something as big as God can't move inside of you without you knowing it, without others knowing it. Well, something's going to change. Something in you is going to change. You see the awesomeness of our position. We get to dwell in God, and God's willing to come down and dwell in us. It's old sinners saved by God's grace, doing our best to live a life pleasing to him and he wants to dwell in us, and he's willing to come down and dwell inside of us. And we can know that he's in there because his spirit bear witness with our spirit. We know that we're saved. We are so undeserving of what he's given us, yet he gives us to us freely. We see the fruit that comes from his divine love. Verse 1 of this chapter, "And behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Behold what manner of love he's bestowed upon us. We don't deserve a bit of it. He did it anyway. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We don't deserve it. Because of his love, because he chose to die for us and to live again for us, we can be called the very sons of God." You can have assurance of that. You can know that you're part of him. Now, since we're called the sons of God, if you've been saved, you're called the sons of God, you ought to be showing this love to others. So this chapter's been talking about, indeed and in truth. And when we do, we can have a clean heart before God. We can have assurance of our possession. We can have answers to our prayers. We can see the awesomeness of our position. We are literally dwelling in him and him in us. This love is not some made-up thing. This is a real thing. I keep saying this over and over again every service. This thing of serving God is a real thing. You really can be in him and him in you. He really can dwell inside of you. What a God we serve. We're willing to send his Son to die for us. Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. We don't deserve it. A bunch of sinners like us get to be called the sons of God. And God's going to come dwell inside of us. We ought to be sharing it with others. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for already done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for those that are able to be with us. Lord, I pray up those that are traveling, and those Rachel and Brian, Lord, and Ketchikan. Lord, I pray watch over them and bring them back this way quickly and safely. Lord, I pray you allow her to heal up quickly. Lord, thank you for already done for us, Lord, in Jesus' name.